Mike and JF, it's Brian. I was listening to your last episode, and you were talking about trying to get cable from, it sounds like the first floor or the second floor of Mike's house or something like that. You're wondering if you could drill a hole through the top plate. And I just wanted to call in. I'm an architect, actually, and that's totally fine. You can do that. The idea of you two guys rummaging around in Mike's walls with a bunch of power tools does make me nervous, but if all you're doing is running a cable, I think that should be fine. I was also wondering if, I thought Mike was renting the place, but who knows, you know, I've lost track at this point. So anyway, that's something else to think about, but go ahead and drill a hole through the thing. It'll be fine. And, if it's not fine, go ahead and change my name on this call. Thanks.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to YKS. Mike and JF here. Mike, you heard the man. Drill, baby, drill.
I guess that's a go. I guess we're ready to, we can do it.
Well,
what
I guess.
Do you think? You want to come over tomorrow or what to do
well,
it?
Well, maybe we should lay it all out here and say I already did. So we had a few people reach out, and I appreciate that. That gave me the courage I needed to continue destroying Mike's home, which he does rent. So,
yeah, so nice. So nice.
We did. You know, look, we cut some holes. We drilled some other holes. In the end, did we accomplish what we set out to? No. But
not at all. Actually made it significantly worse.
Well, but, you know, on top of that, we also, I think, figured out that maybe we didn't even need to try it at all. Because you found a workaround.
It's not a full workaround, okay? So, I mean, don't even get me started here.
No, that's actually what we have. We have to get you started. This is the start of the show, so.
So, you can't run, you know, the Ethernet upstairs, because it's got the, you know, whatever it was that you discovered in the, I wasn't in the room, I was outside.
Well, that is actually true. You do sort of make yourself scarce. I did kind of think we would be hanging out a little bit more.
I float in and out. I come in and out. I do a checkup.
You did treat me not like a friend, but more like the actual cable guy is there doing work. So you kind of come in and peek over my shoulder and go, "Oh, how's that going? All right. Yeah. Sounds good. I'm gonna get out of your hair. I'm gonna pop downstairs." I was left to my own devices. No wonder things went south so quick.
It turns out I needed a flathead fucking guy in my house. Like, I care. I'm on my phone outside. You know?
I'm putting the little paper shoes on so I can come in and not mess up your being very respectful of everything. So yeah, there was some sort of plywood, but really the term is OSB, and it was sort of seemingly sheathing some duct work or some other kind of electrical or plumbing chase horizontally that I was not able to get through. It was about 3 feet down from the floor, and really at that point decided not to continue with the project. But we hopped right into the drywall repair, which is going swimmingly, I think.
It's going great. I think it's going great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be sanding it down and basically finishing up the rest of your job that you're supposed to do.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, but the good thing is it's at my expense. So, you know, I made sure and got the sheetrock for you, custom matched the paint. Spent a lot of time in Lowe's, actually. For this specific thing, nothing else was going on at all. So,
well, we
was
learned
just a treat.
A lot. We learned a lot during the process, right?
I
learned to check up on you more often, to do more checkups.
Right. Yeah, maybe just ask me. You know, just talk. Let's just talk. You know, just a little more talking would be good. But you're going to get pretty close to what you're paying for from,
see, that's,
you know,
the problem, okay? And that's the reason why I get all fired up, because I'm getting pretty close to the speeds that I'm paying for. I'm paying for a full gig. Am I getting a full gig? No. Okay?
You're not going to get that no matter what. There's no way. You can't get it. You can't. It's not real. It's fake.
Yeah, well.
You think you're so good at real or fake, and you can't even figure this one out. You dope, you bozo, you fucking bozo. Just kidding. But in a way, it is real, and it sort of reveals a little bit about, you know, where your head's at and how you're thinking and stuff like that. I'm not getting the full gig either, Mike. I'm just barely screeching by with.
Oh my God, we are in fucking dire straits, dude.
I know.
We're fucking the big blocky guys. We're not the MTV. We're fucking in dire straits, dude. We're not getting the full gig. We need the full fucking gig.
Money for nothing. Money for nothing. What can we do with that? Money for nothing. That was one of their songs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think that was the same song, maybe. I don't know.
Wow, wow, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Those crazy MTV guys.
yeah. Man, that was so crazy. Man. You used to be able to just turn on the TV and there'd be music on there. Remember that?
Yep. Not anymore.
No. I wouldn't even know where to... Where would I even...
I don't even know where to find music now, the goddamn days.
I know. No idea. Sucked so bad leaving your house in the 90s because you're like, damn, there goes all my music. It's on the TV at home, so I can't... I don't have any way to...
Yeah.
You know?
You take a guy from the 90s and show him an iPod and it would just fucking...
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to see that and comprehend that for another 10 years, maybe.
Yeah. Is it 10? Yeah, it seems like it's maybe...
like 2000, maybe.
Yeah, but if you're... 1999 is the 90s, so really, it could be as little as 1 year.
I can't comprehend that for one more year. What is that?
Guy going back in time 1 year to show off the technology that we...
This doesn't come out for another 4 months. What is this?
Sure, I've seen rumors of this on all the blogs and everything, but for you to actually have it, that's pretty, that's impressive. That's pretty cool. You remember when people would get the gadgets ahead of time, and then wasn't there some big thing where a guy left the new iPhone in a bar or something? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
What happened with that? What was that? That was a guy who worked at Apple, and then he was out with his new phone and then left it at the bar, and some guy grabbed it and said, time to report on this phone. Was that basically what happened?
I don't remember what happened, but what was that on? It was in Gawker or something a long time ago.
I think so. I think that sounds like something they might have. I mean, those guys, they'll report anything.
They'll report any goddamn thing.
You know? Yeah. Sushi eating, anything. I guess now if you went to a bar, which of course, you know, nowadays, I don't even know if you feel comfortable.
I don't know if there are any now. Yeah,
there's probably not any.
Shut them all down.
Well, I know that Taffer has saved, I think, three or four so far this season. So there's at least four bars that did not close. But if you went to a bar now and you sat in the booth, and you saw a phone sitting on the booth, I guess the first thing you would do is hit it with some Purell. I mean,
yeah,
never can be too careful. But then you would look at it and you would go, oh, here's just a normal phone. Because what the fuck? There's no difference, right? There's no new. It all looks like the same.
I guess back then it was big.
Was it big? Is that how you could tell?
Because what was it? It was the jump between, I think, the iPhone with the curved back or whatever, and it was the iPhone with the rectangular blocky design. So they had never seen anything like it. They were like a guy from 1998 who you try to describe Woodstock 99 to. He would just have no... And so he immediately reported it as news. He was like, I've never seen anything like this before.
Wait, Woodstock 99? What are you talking about? That happened in the 70s. Why would there...
It's 98 now. What do you mean? What are you talking?
Yeah, we can go back to my place and watch on DVD this new technology that just came out, a recording of Woodstock from 1974, if that's what you mean. isn't that wild? The iPhone used to have a little plastic bag. It looked like a play school phone. Who fucking came up with that crap?
Yeah, stupid. Steve Jobs.
What are you, an idiot?
Dummy. Steve, need a new job after that one. After that, after that blunder, he was out on his duff, JFB. Yeah.
You faggot.
Out on his hat.
You faggot. Aren't there, is there a website, and I feel like the answer has to be yes, and there has to be innumerable versions of it, but is there a website of, like, Donald Trump's archived tweets that you can search through for keywords so you can remember funny posts?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, well, how do we find those? Because I need to find them, and I need to look at them about once a day, and I really need to
Orange Man, not so bad now, huh? Now you miss him. Now you miss his ass.
I miss him as a content creator, creator guy, like our friend David Dobrik, who's back. David Dobrik is back in
David
the news.
David Dobrik is back. Gang. Yeah.
Yep. After this guy, he released a new video of abusing his friends, and this one is certified hilarious. Check it out on YouTube.
Coming up later, we're going to dig into the Trisha Paytas H3 drama. You don't want to miss that, so stick around for that.
You can't say H3. Is that what they want you to say?
What is it?
I don't know. Just tell me what you want me to say. Either. I'll say it. I just don't.
Someone else tell me. I don't know what it is.
I'm sitting here with my curved back
and
iPhone.
And what's more, I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I care a lot about it. I care a lot about these people, and the way that they interact with my life is very important to me. Donald Trump's archived tweets. Here we go. We're searching. The TrumpArchive.com. Look at this now. Okay. It's a little bare bones, unfortunately, but we can still search, right? We can search for Steve Jobs on here.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
And it's pretty quick. This is actually pretty quick. It must be a good back end on this web server.
Okay, Dan's
nodding. I hit that one out of the park. Let's see. Donald Trump. A lot of quotes from Steve Jobs. Here we go. This is
I cannot believe that Apple didn't come out with a larger screen iPhone. Samsung is stealing their business. Steve Jobs is spinning in grave.
Another one from January 2014. Steve Jobs is spinning in his grave. Apple has lost both vision and momentum. Must move fast to get magic back.
Love it.
And that's because he wanted a big screen, right?
Yeah, he wanted the big screen. Fat thumbed idiot. Can you look up spinning in grave? See how many, see how many people he said were spinning in their grave? What he thinks happens down there?
April 2013, I've always been a fan, of Steve Jobs, especially after watching Apple stock collapse without him, but the yacht he built is truly ugly.
Yeah, slam his ass. Was he dead then?
It probably had a, the yacht probably had a curved plastic back.
Yeah, if you want to charge the yacht, you have to flip it all completely over on its back and plug it in.
Yeah. There's something wrong with my yacht. There's a thin metal band around the outside that touch it, you can't.
You'll flip out and go crazy.
You'll just go crazy. Okay. Whatever that was.
So 60 Minutes treats President Obama with kid gloves. Mike Wallace is spinning in his grave.
The real J.P. Morgan is spinning in his grave at the ridiculous settlements the bank is making to settle disputes. A settler is a soft target. The real J.P. Morgan. He's worried about, like, the famous banker. Oh, boy. Let's see. WFB is spinning in his grave. Jonah killed it. I don't know what do you think WFB? WFB.
Who's WFB?
I don't know who WFB is. Somebody has passed away. Maybe a probably a good. He's probably talking about a good person.
Wet farting butt spinning in his grave. Rest in peace.
Did wet farting butt really die? Are you serious? This is the first I'm hearing of it. I'm from 99. I haven't heard of it yet. That's Donald Trump's archive. Look, you can go on there and you can search. What's the other thing he really liked? What's the other stuff he really liked? Graydon Carter. I mean, oh my God, these are so good. The Graydon Carter posts are so good. Look, you can just do this whenever you want now.
Was that his last post, this tweet here? Was this his last post? Because that is so funny. If this was his last post ever. To all of those who have asked, I will not be going to the inauguration on January 20th. And then they axed his ass.
Yeah.
That is the funniest thing to ever happen, I think.
Bye-bye. Mike, let's give an update on an old Kickstarter, huh? Mike,
You want to do it again?
No.
You want to take it again?
No, I loved what I said. I'm happy with it. This is from episode 175. Any Tongs from episode 175. This is November 2020. When we talked about the Any Tongs, it had $30,655. It ended with $33,454. That's the YKS bump. Do you remember this project, Mike?
Do I remember the Any Tongs? Yes, I do, JF. I remember the Any Tongs is one of my favorite campaigns that we've ever done on the show.
You're such a disrespectful scumbag to talk to me like that.
The Any Tongs will instantly turn your flatware into kitchen tongs, JF. It's these grippers that you put a spoon and a fork into, make tongs out of, you know?
Yes.
You don't remember it? Or what?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite projects. I mean, the fucking golf.
Don't copy.
So, tongs. Okay, let's talk about tongs. I will tell you what I have in my kitchen right now. I'll be perfectly honest. Yes, I'm a little bougie. I have three different pairs of tongs. Okay, here comes the guillotine tongs for old JF. Roll it out. Here it comes. Oh, no. There goes my head. It fell off. I have three tongs, okay? I have one of them that's sort of, it's like a little bit, it's metal, right? The tongs, there's a rubber grip, but it's metal on the end, okay?
That's your grill. So is this including the grill tongs, or is that a separate entity entirely?
Excellent question. This includes the grilling tongs.
Okay.
The grilling tongs are a little less, they're no frills, right? They're larger and they're no frills. I do keep them inside just in case, but they're primarily for the grill. Good point. Then there's the other metal tongs that are more, I would say, residential grade. If you want to say prosumer grade on the grilling tongs, okay, yeah. These are for residential use only. I think they're probably the OXO Good Grips. You know, it's got the little thing in there. They're a little bit smaller. I use those for meats generally. And then there's the ones that have the silicone tip. If I have like a nonstick pan, I don't want to scratch it up with the metal tongs. I've got the blue ones, and they're blue, and it also helps like to prevent cross contamination, right? If you're doing raw meat and you're going over to the vegetables or whatever, you don't want to use the same tongs. Makes sense, right?
Makes sense.
Noticed you're not saying how many pairs of tongs you have. It must either be embarrassingly few or staggeringly high. I don't know which one it is.
I have 14 pairs of tongs.
Well, you really could with the Any Tongs, though, right? Because you don't have to depend on things that are of themselves.
Yeah, tongs. Anything with these things, anything could be a tong, JF. Yeah. If you could turn a tong, anything into a tong with these goddamn things, probably.
Yeah, you probably could. I mean, I'm picturing Neo looking at the spoon. He's going, "That's not a spoon. It's a tong." I guess he would say it's a tong. I don't actually know. Does he say that's not a spoon?
I don't think so.
I think I'm thinking of Crocodile Dundee. So
yeah, you are.
Okay.
Still,
that's not a tong.
Two incredible guys.
Yeah, new type of guy found. It's the combination of those two separate guys. So the thing that these tongs, any tongs themselves are basically just handles that will accept a variety of flatware, right? So in this case, they're saying, imagine, you know, using two forks to move the world's tiniest. I guess that's a steak. I don't know what the hell that is. It looks like shit.
What is that? Pork?
Isn't it too red to be pork? But then it.
I don't know. But then it's too white to be a steak.
That's what I'm saying. It's right in the middle. I don't understand. That's a weird. It's a very weird cut of meat. It looks like it has skin on the outside, like sausage.
has a tattoo. There's a heart tattoo. It says mom on it.
Yeah, I don't know, I don't know what that is. You could use forks to pick up that meat. You could use, I believe they're using spoons here to swirl pasta as it's boiling. Then you could also use one spoon and one fork. And nobody's saying you have to use two of the same kind of thing. You can use a spoon and a fork.
That's a great thing. That's a great thing about the any tongs. JF.
Yeah.
I got it. Is you can use anything you want. That's what's so great about it.
I guess you wouldn't ever use a knife, though. Yeah. Would there be any reason for you to? Because they don't even show knives. It's basically just spoons and forks. What else could you?
I don't know. I don't know what you would use a knife in your tongs for. I don't know.
I mean, surprisingly, for a thing that claims to be extremely versatile, it's really only got two moves.
Spoon or fork. Yeah.
Spoon or fork, and really, are they that different when it comes down to how you're? Because you're just using them to grasp, so it's not really.
Yeah, it's.
You're not puncturing it with the fork, so
kind of. I mean, it's one of those inventions. It's just. People gotta get out of the house or something, you know.
Touch grass.
And they will now. Now that we're finally opening everything back up.
Finally are. You can take your any tongs wherever you want. This is a product I don't really understand. It did get made. They did make them. And of course, like many projects, there have been shipping delays, right? Everything's going haywire right now with all of the shipping. Some things just ain't showing up. Some things are showing up more than once. Some things, Mike, I've even heard some things are showing up in the past. Wouldn't that be? I mean, I guess it's, I don't know. That's kind of a fun, like,
that's kind
it
of
could
a
be
fun
like,
thing.
It could be like a cool movie. It could be like the post office. Okay. Here it is. Here it is. You remember Night at the Museum?
Yeah.
So the plot of Night at the Museum is there's like this artifact that's in the museum that basically makes all the things come to life at night, including Dick Van Dyke, who is very funny in the
was
role.
Is he dead, though? How'd they do that?
Yeah, I don't have any. I mean, it's a very powerful artifact.
Insane artifact.
Yeah, it's really good. What if you did that? What if there was an artifact at the post office? At the big, if there's one main post office, the big post office in Washington, D.C., probably. And because that's the capital, post office headquarters. The postmaster general is in charge of guarding a secret artifact. However, one night the artifact is released, and it makes all of the mail not just go to its destination across anywhere in the country for just 65 cents or whatever a stamp is. It makes the mail go into the past, and it's up to our heroes to right the wrong by collecting the mail from the past, bringing it back to the future, and you can use that back to the future. It's Back to the Future 3.
Yeah.
What do you think? Mail time. Back to the Future 3, mail time.
You're just pitching like a whole movie to me. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, I was kind of confused about why the mail would be going back in time. I didn't really understand that part of it. Doesn't really make a lot of sense, but
we'll flesh it out. We'll flesh it out.
Are the letters addressed to like Jesse James or something? What's going on?
No, they're not at first, but so the artifact is misplaced, and then a rogue postal worker hacks the machine that sorts the mail. And the mail is getting sorted wrong.
Yeah, I love that. Instead of sending all the mail to now, the present time,
to the now,
it's a big switch that goes past.
Right, right. So, and then in the second act, it gets flipped to future.
Yeah.
Really
boring movie, though, I think. Because you're just going around getting letters and stuff.
But you're driving around in the...
Bill and Ted, though.
You're driving the mail truck.
Wait a minute.
Did the switch just get flipped to future? Whoa!
Oh, no. I know that we just arrived here in fucking Rome and stuff, and it's all crazy. but this one's marked return to sender. We gotta go back. Maybe that's the sequel.
That's Return to Sender is the sequel. The name of this movie, I think, is Forever Stamp.
Oh. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I love that.
When they said Forever Stamp, I didn't think they meant it. Well, hey, the post office is more than the post office is more than it's cracked up to be, you know. And then you can get some of the famous so post stupid. Office people
just
from history.
Fucking trying what? To save the post office by making a film about the post office.
Yeah.
That's so clutch. We got to save the post office, so let's make a action film about the post office. And then everybody in America goes back to the theater.
Right.
Saves both the movie industry and the post office industry.
Yep.
We would be fucking heroes.
I actually was thinking of it as more of a drama. There's no action in there. Anyway, the Annie Tongs, we've got several comments here from people, mostly in the UK, who say that the Annie Tongs don't fit any of their flatware over there. And I guess this was also a problem with the butter thing. Everybody in the UK got so mad that it didn't fit their butter. So they've just got something else going on over there. But what does their flatware look like that it won't go in the, is it like circular? I don't. Does it not have a handle like everything else? How does it not work? I don't get it. It says the, let's see. It says, seem to be built for oversized kitchenware. None of my spoons or forks fit. They're all too thin. So they must have very, I mean, they would have to be as small as like chopsticks to not fit in the thing. It seems like.
We make them thin over here, mate. some guy getting mad. The butter dish thing was so funny because it was like, what was it? The butter that they get is too big to go in the butter dish.
It's like a square. They have like a big square of butter. They have like a rectangular butter prism. And we just have the tube of butter and stuff. So it wouldn't go in the thing at all. And they were blindsided by it. So very strange.
What soul is that? What's it? Surprise.
But Glenn Greenwalt here says, I have no idea if I did the survey. I tried when first sent.
Unfortunate name on that guy, huh?
That's tough. Yeah. Hey, maybe he cancel cultured his order for the
love it.
Annie Tongs. Who gives a fuck? That segment's over now.
Who cares? We're moving on.
It's time for the six pack, but before that, a quick word from our sponsors. Mike, today's episode of YKS, sponsored by Honey. Now, we all shop online these days, and we've all seen that promo code field taunt us at checkout. I swear to God, one time, I thought the thing was giving me the finger. Did you see that, too?
Did I see that, too? I don't think I saw it. But thanks to Honey, JF, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past.
Yeah, the past is no good. We've left the past behind for a good reason, gang. We're in the present now, and we all know what comes next, the future. I declare Honey may just very well be the future of browser extensions, saving money with browser extensions. I really believe this, okay? It's the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. In the past, I've hit the Honey button that integrates with all of the big websites we love to shop at and support. And Honey will pop up and say, well, hey there, Mr. JF, I'm doing my own thing over here. Why don't you go grab yourself a coffee? And, you know, I'll go grab myself a coffee and come back. And you know,
deals are right there.
9 times out of 10, what do I come back to? But savings. Okay. Essentially making my cup of coffee earn me money? That's right. Yeah, Honey can do that
for itself.
Oh, boy. That's mostly true, gang. Imagine you're shopping at one of your favorite sites, okay? When you check out, the Honey button drops down, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Now, this is the one situation where when Honey drops down, you don't have to run and get a wet paper towel.
Bucket, yeah. This is all online stuff, gang.
It's all online. Don't be confused. This is not the actual product, Honey. But I bet, I really do think that somewhere out there in this great worldwide web we all love, I bet you could find a honey coupon code.
Wouldn't that be funny?
What? That's crazy.
Oh my God. Get old Alanis Morissette on the line. Tell her we got another one.
So I've used honey for a number of things. The one that really sticks out to me, gang, is getting those protein bars on the cheap. I had to have saved a pretty decent chunk of change. I want to say it was around 15 buckaroonies, and
that's insane.
That goes a long way towards keeping me in protein bars and protein butters and protein, fingers crossed, honey someday, from my mouth to God's ears. God, are you listening? It's me, the protein guy. I'm serious. Honey has found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. And oh yeah, you can tell I'm doing the pinky to the mouth thing from a movie from a long time ago.
Can't say which one.
We'll not be allowed to say which. Yeah, we can't say which movie, but oh yeah, there's a pinky involved, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if you don't already have honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free, okay? It installs in just a few seconds. Go get yourself a coffee while it installs. I don't know. It's none of my business, okay? By getting honey, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast as well. I'd never recommend something I don't use, okay? That's why I'm recommending this, because I use it. Get honey for free at joinhoney.com/YKS. Please, that's joinhoney.com/YKS. Also sponsoring this week's YKS, Mike, BetterHelp. Oh boy, you know what I'm talking about when it comes to BetterHelp, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you'd say what it was.
I was going to let it linger there.
Yeah, that's okay. Sometimes silence is cool, but I'm actually a guy who likes to talk. That's why BetterHelp is right up my alley. Okay. This is what else? You've heard us talk about it. You know what it's all about. It's talking, okay? And it's therapy, okay? That's what BetterHelp is. BetterHelp is going to assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Now that is something to write home about, right?
Yeah, that's something to talk about. I don't know. We're doing the talking thing. What interferes with your happiness, JF? Is something preventing you from achieving your goals?
No, but I can easily imagine why that would be the case for anyone. I myself have used my incredible brain waves, which I actually believe my brain is made up of a different material than everyone else's, and it allows me to sort of manipulate my environment in a kind of a cool way. So, you know, if there's, for instance, something that might help keep me from achieving my goals, like a locked door, I actually am able to unlock the door just with my strength of will and sheer mind powers. And is that available to everyone? No. But
no, of course not. It would be ridiculous. You would have total, complete anarchy. I mean,
that's right. Yeah, but BetterHelp is here to sort of bridge the gap between people like myself, highly intelligent beings, mythically matter with my mind, and of course everyone else who, you know, just every now and then needs to check in with somebody who is licensed professional, licensed in a variety of different disciplines. You know, ready to help with basically whatever is going on. It's not self help. It's professional counseling, okay? You can send a message to your counselor anytime. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. I would probably, if it were me, I would be inclined to maybe connect over the digital landscape, just sort of with my, just like the unseen.
Mind computer.
Yeah, sort of. I log into my mind computer. I actually have a big room for it. I walk into this big room. It's almost like a dome.
Veering into copyrighted territory. Steer away from.
I can connect not only with my therapist, but with millions of therapists worldwide if I don't. all of this without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room, gang. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. This is available all over the world as well, gang. And these professional counselors are specializing in all kinds of different areas. I mean, it'll make your head spin, all the different areas they're specialized in. Some of them maybe even helping you with delusions of mental powers. I don't know. I haven't looked into it, but something maybe to check out. Anything you share is confidential. It's convenient, professional, affordable. All of the above? Absolutely. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Now, I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/YKS. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/YKS.
Oh, it's six-pack time. It's six-pack time. It's time to do.
Six pack time. Mike, it's time for the six pack. We've got six Kickstarters here to tell you all about. And I'm already looking at the sheet right now, and I am discovering a huge problem that we did not know about until this very moment.
Okay. Well,
we're gonna figure it out live. We've got free. We'll do a little freelancing. As we get going, I mean, a couple of absolute morons. What's the first one you got, Mike?
Well, the first one I have is called Delivery Reimagined, JF.
Fuck! Yeah, that sounds cool. What's that about?
Yeah, Delivery Reimagined is a delivery system of a cooperative driver network to deliver local and long-distance items nationwide, JF. This was a project... It was formed in early January this year as a unique delivery system in direct response to current popular app services. We deliver outside area restaurants to inner city Port Jervis, Jeff.
Port Jervis?
Or around thereabouts.
Okay. Got you covered. That's cool. How far away is Port Jervis from Nashville? Do you know?
Oh, God. Top of my head?
Yeah.
Couldn't be more than 3 hours.
All the way to Port Jervis? Well, you're talking downtown.
I'm talking downtown, right in the middle.
Okay, yeah. Okay, well, that's not too bad.
I mean, if you want the directions to the township or how many... No, I don't know.
Yeah, no. It's fine. I'll MapQuest it later.
In New York, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's a long trip, but it's like once you get there, it's like, well, I'm in Port Jervis now, so that's good.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth it.
Time to hang out. I'm looking at Port Jervis. Website right now, JF.
Yeah, what do they got going on? Something good, I hope.
Ooh, looks like they got a COVID-19 mask warning, so...
Ooh.
Not great.
Ooh, buddy.
Not going there.
Yep. Not if you like your freedoms. This is a delivery business, but, Mike, aren't there already a lot of delivery businesses out there right now? I mean, I can open up my phone... Yeah. And pull up any number of apps and get stuff delivered to me, right? Am I crazy?
Yes, you are, JF, but this one is different. This is okay. All those big name delivery apps like GrubTube and Find Now and right. Need It and
Need It, Want It, Got It. Yeah, I love that one.
All of those are backed by huge companies and VCs, and they are evil. Right. And
okay.
So,
agreed.
This is all locally backed and stuff. So these guys are, you know.
Okay, so that's sort of similar to the premise of the politician who runs for office by saying, "I'm not one of the people who has done this a lot before. I'm an outsider. That's what you want. You send somebody who has no experience at this job to DC because." That will be good. That will be good for some reason. And I don't know if they've ever connected those dots for me as to how that's good, but this seems sort of similar. I know that the big companies that run the delivery apps are not good people, and they don't have anyone's interests at heart other than the damn shareholders.
Oh. Well, they're job creators. Can you call them jobs? I don't know what you're supposed to call. It's not a job. Yeah. We're creating opportunities.
Yeah. But still, you got to say at least the apps work most of the time, right? Like they do.
Yeah. I mean,
they do exist.
They want to create, I don't know, what do they want to do? They want to create a better delivery app system focused on relationships with customers. They say, with a combined education, including extensive knowledge as an engineer, a degree in business management, as well as years of combined waitressing and bartending experience, we are able to provide the necessary skills and competency to deliver products safely and securely to our customer base. Probably not. You're probably not equipped to do this.
Probably not. It says, so it does say the tri-state area is 50 miles away at the moment, which I don't know. I don't know if they're thinking about Port Jervis maybe moving closer to the tri-state area. It seems like 50 miles is about how far away Port Jervis will be from the tri-state area for the foreseeable future. But I guess anything's possible. And also, that's like an extremely long way to get food or like toothpaste delivered, isn't it? Isn't that really far? You wouldn't want to get food delivered from 50 miles away, would you?
Yeah, be all cold, be all nasty cold. Probably a guy stole some of your fries too by the time you get there. You only have two or three little fries. They're shitty fries too. They saved you the shitty ones. You know, sorry, long drive.
That's right. Instead of an only convenient app delivery service, that's like a really tough way to start out the value proposition of building a delivery program is saying, you know how all those apps are like super convenient and you can just get whatever you want on them and it happens right away? We want to zag while they're zigging because we want to provide personalized service where there's constant open communications between the merchant, customer, and delivery personnel. We noticed a flaw with some popular delivery service systems in that one can simply open an app, place an order, but then random delivery people arrive at someone's doorstep with their essential items and there is a complete disconnect of human interaction. And I would say you have actually identified the appeal of these delivery services. That is exactly what people want to happen when they use them, right?
I'm like looking up the company's Facebook and stuff, and they're unhinged right wing morons. But
what?
They have video of them like doing a delivery, Sonic delivery, and the video is like 18 minutes long.
Oh my god!
But. They made some posts, I guess, that everybody did not appreciate because it says thank you to those friends who took a second to support Tri-State Delivery Services. I'm sorry if I upset anyone with the information contained in its backbone reason for existence. Now I got to find that post because I don't know what that's about. But
we're going to need to know what that post is. Yeah.
I think it was something China and Russia related because he goes on to say, like many, I'd rather be doing laundry, cleaning my house, watching TV, paying attention to my kids, working as a contributing member of society, or generating funny memes on Facebook. Okay. If no one wants to jump on the Patriot bandwagon and prefer to stick your head in the sand and do nothing about China and Russia, I'm closing up for good and shutting down Facebook and deal with the target I painted on myself by exposing the rats. My fucking some Decker dialogue. My patience and continued finances to deal with them alone on this business model to venture nationwide is nearly at zero.
Wow. But then she kept going after that?
Yeah. Like nothing happened.
Okay.
So.
Well, I would say that they have correctly identified what people like about the apps. Why they decided they want to do something different is anyone's guess. It sounds, the way this is written is it kind of seems like they don't actually want an app at all. They want you to have to do something else to get your food or... They also talk about like delivering groceries and stuff like that. So instead of going through the app development process, what if you just called them and just said what you wanted and they'll see if they can go there and get it for you? That number one, that seems like a downgrade in terms of service. But then also it can come from really far away instead of somewhere that's relatively close. So it costs more and takes longer and the food's not as good. And then also instead of having someone just drop it off and leave you alone to your shame and also not forcing the weird interaction between strangers, they'll stick around and talk to you for a while, maybe, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what, I don't know what this person wants out of delivery, but I think it's, I think we just want, you know what? We just want different things. That's all it is. We've just grown apart and we just want different things. You know, that's okay.
What we're doing with our people as drivers for their company is giving them personal and governmental security access with banks, delivering lunch, for example, to managers inside and other government and personal property. We must keep our streets safe and property private like it used to be. And our government is as secure as possible. This monster company, DoorDash, came along and conveniently at our most vulnerable state as a nation, JF. DoorDash is very complex and was well planned for the arrival of our streets. Please, we must begin to organize the fight of our lives as a nation.
Over delivery?
If you are a like-minded individual, please inquire. There is a better way to have a delivery system and service. If all goes according to plan, we will be hiring in July. So,
good luck with that. For $100, you get a coffee mug. For $500, you get a bottle opener. I mean, aside from that being a little bit high, I don't know that I understand why a bottle opener would be five times as much money as a coffee mug. I think, if anything, it's the other way around. But yeah. I assume they've got a good handle on everything. It sounds like from their Facebook page, it sounds like they've got a good handle on things. Yeah, said nobody ever.
I hope they have a good handle on bottle opener. Hope they have a good handle on it.
Well, because if they don't, the bottle cap could
fucking fly off and kill somebody.
Well, that's actually happened. It's actually happened. That's delivery reimagined. $6 of $200K. $200K, a lot of money for whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Mike, the I next guess one I've got.
I was going to say, I guess it was, what is it? I don't care. It doesn't. Gave up on it.
That's okay. That's all right, Mike. I've got something here called Delivery Reimagined. Oh, crap. Oh, God. Oh, no.
What happened, bro?
Yeah, just kind of maybe just didn't. I just kind of got.
It's okay. Putting the stuff in the thing before the show is hard. Everybody it knows
is.
It.
It is really hard. People don't appreciate how difficult it is to do whatever you said. Now, I do actually have a different one that's not copied. It's called Sidekicks.ai. This is the holographic AI companions we wished for. Sidekicks are fun, smart, and emotional AI characters. They live in holographic displays, voice enabled, and they want to help humans. And that's cool. I'm going to play this video for you.
Since the dawn of time, mankind has always dreamt of one invention. True sidekick. Ladies and gentlemen, we're glad to present Alfred. Alfred.
Oh, my apologies. Where are my manners? Let me introduce you to Sidekick's company.
Brilliant.
Humans are clumsy, emotional, and extremely naive creatures, and that's why we exist. We're an elite army of well-trained AI assistants. We complete humans.
Isn't that amazing? Alfred will wake you up.
Rise and shine. Time to wake up.
Clean your house.
With a little help, of course.
Prepare your schedule based on your favorite life coach. Manage your social media.
What a wonderful thought, sir. Should I tweet about it?
He'll be your fashion stylist.
Alfred, show me some shoes I might like.
Here are the best-selling shoes that match your personality.
And he can answer all your important questions.
Alfred, how can you say pizza in Chinese?
Sir, pizza in Chinese is pizza.
Also, he's a great listener, thanks to his high EQ.
I heard a funny story the other day.
Really? I would love to hear it.
And kids just love him. He's the best virtual nanny ever, with full parental controls. He can also revolutionize their education by making it fun and exciting.
Alfred, how far away is Mars?
Today we're going to learn about Mars. Mars is our neighbor planet, and it gets really cold there.
This sucks so bad. It really sucks a lot.
What? Hey, learning and stuff? What's your problem with it?
Yeah. That's right. This is Alfred, and he is a little bit of a cut-up. Actually, I don't know if you noticed during the video there, but he had some fairly, I would say, disrespectful remarks to the people that own the little box that he lives in. And yeah. What about this box, Mike? It looks like, I mean, you know, in the old days, we'd call it the boob tube. You know, what is it now? I guess it's a simple holographic. This is a holographic prism in which our friend Alfred is contained. Something of a prison. Actually.
Yeah. Must have done something.
Yeah, he's upset.
Fucked up.
An evil genie. And this is, I actually can't. Can you tell?
I expose myself on a playground. That's why he's in the prison.
That's why he's in the box having to answer Mars questions. Can you tell if the thing that they're showing is at all real or if it's a complete, a mock-up? Can you tell by looking at it whether it's possible to project? Because the thing that's showing in this GIF here is it almost looks like a, what are those things called? Like you know, like the comic things that they have where it's like a cell of
Geekly print or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. It kind of looks like that to me. It looks like a static image on like transparent plastic, right?
Yeah.
But then in the video, he's moving around. Is that a render or do you think that that's actually showing something that's
probably, so what I'm assuming this is just an open source, AI assistant thing like, Siri, Open Siri, or
right,
the Google Assistant bullshit or something, like,
sure,
with a different voice, or maybe I don't know, but
maybe the bare bones default voice that just is stuck there is kind of what sounds like to me.
I'm assuming there's maybe some small projector in the bottom of it. I'm not sure how it works. I'd like to tear this fucking thing apart. I like to rip this fucking thing limb from limb, JF, and see how the fuck it's.
I've got actually sort of a tinkerer's brain, so I'd like to get my mitts on it and just see what makes this thing tick.
Wail on the fucking thing with the baseball bat. They put these fucking tri-wing screws in some of these goddamn things. You can't just tearing it apart.
So it's got a variety of little housing that it can go in. And they're asking an amount of money that is quite high. So super early bird on the little tiny plastic one is $59, goes up to $110. And this is actually, this is just a file that you 3D print yourself. If you want them to make something for you, for instance, a cardboard bus that the little guy rides in, that one is going to be from $100 to $200. And then it goes on up from there. There's a castle that has the electronics in it. Do the other ones not have the electronics? Look at this. This answers the question from before. The $270 to $500 castle that it lives in with no electronics is designed to be used with your tablet. So you're sliding your tablet into the base.
Oh.
And then my kids actually have something very similar to this. I think it's called the Osmo, I think is what it's called. And you put your tablet in this little plastic housing, and it uses mirrors to like reflect what you've drawn into the program or whatever. So it works like a dry erase board in the iPad, I think. So this is a very similar thing. But seemingly to me with much less functionality, like something that would be a fraction of what you would get in any cell phone today. I think I think all of them have something that you can talk to and then you should turn off like as soon as you possibly can, because who's doing that on purpose? I know that you, Mike, you have this, and I guess I sort of do too. You have one of the little things in your house that you can ask to turn the lamp on, right? But that's about as far as it goes, yeah?
Yeah, I have a couple of smart plugs.
But that's all, like, you can say, turn on the lamp. That's pretty, that's good. And then also you can...
Embarrassing when anyone else is in your house and you have to say it.
I won't do it in front of my wife.
Yeah, make her go in the other room or something.
Yeah. Can you get up and walk past the light switch? I need to, I need to talk to my friend Google here. But then the kids ask what the weather is. They'll ask me what the weather is, and it'll be 3:30 in the afternoon. And I will say, I don't know. I haven't been outside all day. Leave me alone. And turn off the light. When you leave,
please. What kind of question is that?
So I'm hissing at my kids cause they interrupted me. And that's about it. I don't think you need anything else. I don't think you need what was the other stuff it showed it asking? How far away is Mars? And then he gives your kids a lesson
on. Who's the president? All right. Yeah. Who cares?
Okay.
Who cares who it is?
Does it make any difference? Does it make any difference to you who the president is? Don't vote. That could be one of the characters that they have in the.
Just the rude little piece of shit.
Yeah. And this thing is going to cost you, a couple $100. You can also look at this, guys. You can go to Austin for South by Southwest 2022. Then you have to party sidekick style. Come and experience life-size celebrity holograms performances, live music by robotic DJs, barbecue, glowing drinks, and enough futuristic experiences to fill an Instagram feed. Now, I will be there, obviously. I will be there for the robotic DJs, Mike. I can picture you right now coming to the party table we're at with a tray full of glowing drinks, right?
Got my little cowboy hat on.
Wouldn't that
Austin,
be fun?
Baby, keep it weird.
Yeah, that is.
We're doing it sidekick style.
We're doing it sidekick style in Austin. Yeah,
that'd be so sick.
Yeah,
partying with the little sidekicks, doing the little Schwarf move.
Yeah, me and the sidekick guy and Joe Rogan we're all hanging out. We're smoking big cigars. We're talking about cryptocurrency.
One of the sidekicks is puking. He didn't know you weren't supposed to inhale a cigar. He's fucking
barfing all over the place. Actually, one of the sidekicks got a tattoo on his over his eye. He got the Mike Tyson. He got the Mike Tyson from. He actually got the Mike Tyson tattoo from Hangover. So, yeah, it's gonna be a pretty wild. It's gonna be a pretty wild year. I can't wait to be there in Austin for South by Southwest with my friends, the Sidekicks. And they've raised so far $24,297 of $8,000. 100 backers, right on the nose. 27 days to go. Boy, that is one stupid piece of crap, Mike. Do you have another one? Please.
Oh man, do I have another one? Yeah, I do. You're in.
Please
you're in
don't
lock.
Say. Don't say delivery reimagined. Don't say
this one's called delivery reimagined. No! JF. No, this one is a delivery thing. Also, this one's called the real meal. Now, this one's this is a fucking piece of shit.
Okay, wait a minute. Can the listeners tell we were a little bit hungry when we were writing this episode up? I mean, seriously.
Love that.
three of the six things on here that we put in here were about
after lunch or something,
seriously. It's like shopping hungry. That's dangerous. Okay, that's actually, you go in the store hungry, look out. I'm putting, yeah, I look like I'm on supermarket sweep. Seriously.
The Real Meal live stream food delivery app with AI tech. Creating an app with patent pending AI technology that provides an interactive live stream food delivery service. JF, I'm hitting the Karen alarm. This one's for all the Karens out there, JF. This is a live streaming app so you can watch the fucking guy deliver your food as if it weren't already a humiliating experience all the way around
for everyone involved. Yeah.
Somehow made it way worse.
So this is actually a tool to, this is actually going to help you out from the guy eating your fries, I guess, right? This is, they heard you, Mike.
They heard my call. Let me play. Let me see if there's a play here.
Have you ever wondered what's happening to your food from the time it's prepared to the time it reaches your doorstep? At The Real Meal, we'd like to show you. The Real Meal provides transparency using patent-pending technology, allowing you to view your food being delivered on a live stream. The Real Meal prides itself in utilizing the three S's: safe, sanitary, secure. We can help put trust back into businesses and the services they provide.
So there you go. What do you think? What do you think about that, huh?
I mean, I think you're absolutely right to point out that this is an indignity app. This is to make everyone feel worse. I wonder why it is that this is so, like, this is such a prevalent thing. I guess just because this is what an idiot does. An idiot sits around thinking about how to get rich,
right?
Well, how to get rich, for sure.
All we need is an idea.
But latching on to, like, the least sustainable, most exploitative aspect of an industry, right? Because there isn't this same technology in play for instance, going to a restaurant, which is where all the food comes from, right? It's only about the guy who's driving the car. It's not about where the food comes from. Like, and also that would be really bizarre as well, of course. But I mean, why aren't you worried? If you're so fucking worried, why aren't you worried about the food before it goes into the styrofoam container? You fucking freak.
What we need is an app that is streaming in real time and can alert the consumer if there is a violation of hygiene code while their food is being delivered to them, JF. The app will be used for the delivery vehicles transporting food to consumers. I guess they're hoping to pitch this to DoorDash or something. Our artificial intelligence will detect whether the delivery personnel is wearing a facial mask. Utilizing social distancing and glove detection, our app is aimed at creating transparency from the business to the consumer.
Glove detection?
Glove detection.
Fuck off.
Get a life.
How about this? How about we come up with a live streaming app to watch you while you're coding this stupid shit? I think I'd actually like to see if you're observing protocol in your little gamer desk while you decide on how to embarrass people who work for a living. That sucks. This sucks.
Yeah.
This is stupid.
We've already worked with legal and patent lawyers, web developers, and an AI software developer that currently writes code for autonomous vehicles, who, by the way, wrote the code for our patent. Who cares? These are things that we have done to get us where we are today.
Oh, man. And look at the... they've got some marketing materials here. And would you believe it? It seems to be making fun of the delivery drivers. Look at this video. Look at this. Dramatizations, or are they? Yeah, I mean, they are, because they're made up. And
let's I'll play that. I want to see that.
Ricky Bobby, I'm a floor dash. I'll be shaking and baking down your street in about 15 minutes.
I don't know what they do, but whenever I smell french fries, I just cannot help myself. And I don't think he's going to notice one fry.
Oh my God, I'm so good. Oh, snap time, shit. Oh,
damn, it's Christmas.
I just put these back in there like this.
And this is where they...
Okay. Wrap that back up like it happened. Guaranteed.
Okay.
Look at this. He's sipping the drink.
Yeah. Shouldn't do that.
COVID window right here. Here's your food. That pop right there is yours.
Have you ever wondered what's happening?
Yeah. The guy's car is in a state of disrepair as well. Very funny. I think
they're all poor.
Doesn't it look like the guy's wearing a grill also? Does he have a grill in his mouth? Grill.
There's a cigarette in his hat. He's got a wig on and face tattoos and a beanie.
Yeah.
He's really
a NASCAR t-shirt.
Yeah.
Great job blurring out the McDonald's logo on the bag though. You can almost not tell. Copyright infringement not intended on the McDonald's bag. So that's good. Oh, and here we go. Backers, we got down here.
Backers, look at this. Yeah, I saw that. The
guy shitting. Yeah. Okay.
Not your camera. Your camera is your camera on?
Okay. Or? Shut the fuck. Shut the fuck up. I'm not shitting. I'm not shitting. I'm not fucking shitting. I shitted earlier.
Oh, look at this. Scroll down. This guy looks terrifying. Scroll down. Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy. You got a smile on your CEO pic. Would be my suggestion. Oh, wow. Okay. They have a lot of people working on this.
Ricky Martin from the fucking song?
Yeah.
My God.
That's Ricky Martin. That's right. Oh, and
it's
were
a
on
joke, gang. It's Rick Martin. The joke.
Mike.
Yeah.
They were on a Kickstarter podcast.
What the fuck? Not this one.
No, it was. It was this one. It was this. They were on this show.
The Real Meal. R-E-E-L. Real Meal.
Wait a minute. I want to listen to a little bit of this.
Okay.
All right, so it's a human condition. I'm Vince Orlando here with our special guest tonight from The Real Meals. I'm sure anybody's who's watching. It's a fascinating idea. I said, hey, you got to check these guys out. They got this this app. That's how he explained it. It was an app that that has to do with safe delivery of food during the pandemic. I
love
wasn't
that.
Expecting how in-depth yep. it was. This concept is something that probably should have been implemented prior to when you think about people in close
proximity. Let your co-host fucking talk. Jesus, it's not all about you. You have to, it's a given. It's a conversation.
What inspired the app? What inspired it from you guys?
So mainly it was, you know, two friends.
Ugh.
You know,
oh, let's get a better pandemic. Get a better mic.
Everything's falling apart. Our lives were changing. Everything was changed on us overnight. One was food, sanitation, and safety. Delivery is.
Dan, I would like for our production to lean a little more towards this. If you could work out how to make us sound and look like these guys.
Yeah, I can fuck it up a bit. Sure.
That's a good this show. I'm gonna be listening to that later.
So what is that? What is that called? That's The Boot Banter is the name of the show. It's a fantasy league podcast. The Boot Dynasty, is that what the show is? Vincent Orlando is the guy's name, right?
What? That's the name of the what?
That's the name of the podcast they went on. The Boot Dynasty League, established in the summer of 2018, is comprised of 12 men who compete for bragging rights and beer money. These are their stories.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
That's boss. that sounds like something you could do if you wanted. Let's see. $20, you get a drawstring bag. $15, you get a pop socket. $25, you get a fucking t-shirt. And oh, hell yeah, it's Fruit of the Loom. That's 100% cotton, baby. So you know that thing is going to itch and shrink. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Wow, this is evil. Luckily, it's one of the evil things that will languish in obscurity. But it is comforting to realize, like, you know what? There's always a new evil idea coming down the pike to get excited about.
That's cool.
$1 of $70,000. One backer, 40 days to go. That's The Real Meal. I will be checking out the, what was the name of the podcast you said?
The Boot Buds or something like that. Boot Guys. I don't know.
Okay. I will be Google searching Boot Guys in a non-incognito window after we get done with the show and seeing what happens. Mike, I've got another one here. This is called The Art of Living Tax-Free. This is a book. Now, taxes, we don't like them, okay? I'll just say it. We don't like them. We don't like the taxes, okay? Because
don't like them.
Here's my point of view on taxes. I earn the money, okay? Let me keep it, right?
Yep. That's right, JF. Uncle Sam has to get his slice. That's just the way it is in this goddamn world of ours, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it.
What is, Mike, what's your least favorite tax? You got, think about all the taxes. We got income tax. That's a big one. You got property taxes. You got your tags, what you pay on your car. I think there's taxes involved there, probably. And then when you go to buy your Twizzlers, that's a tax. There's a Twizzler tax.
Twizzler tax. Yeah.
I mean, it's starting to add up. And I feel like I'm going crazy because I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. I thought I earned this money.
Let me keep it.
Yeah. You know? Let me keep it. You know. Hey, but listen, in all seriousness, I know the government's got to pay for their $200 hammers and their gold-plated toilets. Honestly, I'm happy to help out the little guy, the U.S. government. Just a joke, of course. This is the art of living tax-free. That's, you know, that's the dream. I would love to do that someday by making a lot of money and then moving to one of the Central American countries that weird Republicans fantasize about moving to and becoming like a little lord of, and getting their head chopped off at some point, I think is probably the final act of that play. In this highly readable and provocative book, taxfree.org sets out an original, robust life roadmap with highly little to readable. No taxes.
I love when a book is highly readable.
Yeah, so far they haven't invented one yet, Mike, if you ask me. I could slam on books. The future of business is remote working, so now and very soon many more people will have the option to work from anywhere. Now, that doesn't seem to be relevant at all, except for, like I said, the fantasy is moving to a different country where you don't have to pay any taxes. So I think a good chunk of this is going to be moving to.
Yeah. Step one, move to another country.
Okay. Yeah. Move to a country with no income tax. With this one simple step, you'll find that your income tax goes almost to zero. It says, for instance, did you know the U.S. tax code allows you to pay absolutely zero U.S. income tax on up to $121,250 or more of income per person? When you live and work outside the U.S., then you can double that with your spouse and not have to owe Uncle Sam a nickel. That is so cool. Plus, there's the lower cost of living when you live aboard, which is what it says here. So that's, I don't know, not really helping out the highly readable claim. Working remotely from abroad can be a genius financial move. We're talking about a better lifestyle, more free time, and less money stress. That's big stuff. So that is that's really interesting. Andrew, let's take Andrew, for example, okay? This guy was living the dream. He was a self-employed entrepreneur in the where else but the Big Apple. That's New York City. Unfortunately, his $140,000 salary was knocked all the way down to roughly $82,000 after taxes in New York. He may be income rich, but he was cash poor. Now he's moved to Panama. He's gone from New York City to Panama. And now his cost of living has saved him $40,000. His total taxes has saved him almost $60,000, Mike. And he's getting paid the exact same amount of money. Now that is a winner of a move by Andrew, and all he has to do is change his entire life and live somewhere else. So kind of an interesting way to go. Presumably his small business does not require him to be where the business is, I guess.
Maybe he's like a sysadmin or something.
Yeah, I don't really know. Don't know what this is. Now, the truth is, Mike, is that you can pay zero income taxes. And you can do that by being incredibly wealthy and having tens of millions of dollars to your name. And you can hoard all your wealth in stocks and other illiquid assets. And our friend Jeff Bezos is actually a fan of this as well.
Amazon guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess he's from that, too. I was just thinking of him as sort of like a hero of mine.
I know him from Blue Dream or Blue Origin, of course.
Yeah. So this is a scam for suckers. If you give this guy $5, you'd be better off. You'd be better off giving it to the government than this guy. Even though, like I said, it's going to go right up to what is it? It's hammers and it's toilet seats. And what's the other thing that people? Is there another one that people get mad about, or is it just those two things?
I think it's those two things, right? Or what was the other one? It was like a NASA or something. People hated NASA.
Yeah.
Frivolous spending or something.
We got rid of that, thank God.
Fuck NASA.
Fuck NASA.
For $40, you get a soft cover book. A soft cover. What is that's not right, is it?
Soft cover? Yeah, you don't think that's right.
You don't say hardcover. You say hardcover.
Paperback.
And then paperback.
Yeah.
You don't say soft cover. Right? I mean, I've heard of reading in bed, but you're talking about putting a pillow on the front of a... Surely not. You can't be serious. Anyways. $40 or $50 for the advice of how to move to a different country. Good luck. Buy a dart. It's cheaper. And then throw it at a map, which you probably already have. If you're a geography fan like myself, and then just go
and you have some spare darts like I do.
Yeah, if you have darts, really, you're already you're pretty much done. You don't need anything else. So anyway, that's the art of living tax free, $1,356 of $3,000. Let's see, how many days to go have they got? 20 backers, 28 days to go. So good for them. We'll see what happens 28 days later, and hopefully it's not an outbreak of the undead.
JF, what I got for you is called... I love that. What I got for you is called Data Cubes. Data Cubes, JF. Check this out. This one's called Data Cubes. Multi-sided computer, head-to-head gaming, and more. The Data Cube is a small, multi-sided computer in the general shape of a cube. System is scalable in physical dimensions. Great for gaming. Can we watch this video by this guy?
What the fuck is this? I'm looking at this. This is like...
So you think of, I guess, a milk crate or something where it has TV screens on,
well, give
on
me,
each
give me
side
a,
of it.
Give me a fucking right? second. Give me a second.
You moved on too fast. I was
milk crate.
Blue.
Fuck.
What color should it be? Blue.
Oh, what's written on the side? Fuck.
But anyway, it has screens on the outside of it, and inside of it is like the guts. So it's perfect. Like a Raspberry Pi or something. Anyway, check this video out.
Hi, my name's Matt, and I need you to pitch $1 today on a new machine. It's called a Data Cube. It's a big square with screens on each side. You can do head-to-head gaming on it, better than before, or you can put it in an office or in a school or in a library and have more people using one system. What makes the system even better is the way that it's manufactured and fabricated. It's durable. It's rugged. In addition to that, it's completely expandable. Right now, it has an i5 processor, but we can put i9 processors in. 8 gigs of RAM, we can put 64. What's really cool is we can make it waterproof. We can make it float. We can make it probably be dropped off the back of a truck and survive. We can make them unlike any other machines presently. We need to raise $200,000 in the next 2 weeks to start.
Oh, my God.
And then we have a first-to-market potential to beat anybody else, and we have a long-term goal to attain. Please go to the website, coredatacube.com, and pitch $1 on Kickstarter.
Wait, was that the cell phone ring?
The cell phone going off at the end, bro.
He looked over to answer it, too, before he stopped talking. Okay, this is actually a cube. It's not totally dissimilar from, of course, I'm thinking of a CRT TV. But there was one in particular that I can remember my grandparents having that was very much like just a black cube, and it had to be like a 12-inch screen probably that had a VCR packed into the front, and then the physical buttons that would change, you know, 2, 3, 4, yeah, 5, you know, up to like channel 13 or something like that. And this is pretty much exactly that. It looks like it's roughly got the build quality of like a printer, seemingly. Just that matte black plastic encasement around the whole thing. And there really are, I'm seeing four screens. How many screens are there? 1, 2, 3, 4. Are there 5 screens on this thing? Because there's not one on the bottom, obviously.
No, I think. Is there one on the top? I don't know.
I think there's one on the top as well. Yes.
Oh yeah, there is. So silly, huh?
Stupid. This is really, really strange.
Weird guy. I mean, it looks, if you were someone I worked with, I'd say the Data Cube is a four-sided head-to-head gaming computer with a solid-state chipset, no moving parts, Intel i3 processor, 8 gig RAM, 128 gig SSD, and a communication infrastructure. Oh, and each screen is independent and has cameras and stuff. And then but he goes on to say, if you were my dad, I would say it's a new machine that we do not have yesterday. And what makes people is that we use our capacities to make tangible products for our collective betterment. But if you were my son, I would say it has the potential to change some things, to start playing with it and to make some components to merge into it, because that's why I designed it this specific way for you. If you have a daughter.
God damn it.
I would say that if you are serious about teaching your girls STEM and want to provide them an advantage and means of making a difference in this world, consider getting one. That's cool. Lastly, if you were my grandmother, I'd say it's a black box with screens on each side, but it's very, very cool. Then I'd just smile and nod and change the subject.
That's cool, man. That's really respectful of your grandmother, it sounds like. So what makes this thing new, he asks, rhetorically.
If you were a guy off the street, I'm just kidding, that was last one.
He says, for one, we build in what we call the void. The void is a big empty place to put stuff in. It can be electronics or it can be non-electrical items. It's up to you. What we're going to do with the void is make it easy access. We want to make building machines easier and less complicated in some respects, so we're going to make the Data Cube handle the hard stuff. What are you talking about? Are you talking about like a warehouse where you put this together? Or
no,
is this like conceptual?
If you flip it over, I guess, on the thing's head, there's a big open area inside where you can...
Which, by the way, there's a screen on the top. So you're flipping it over to lay on the screen with all the buttons. And that seems to be where the power cord is plugged in. So it can't sit flat, right?
I don't know. Maybe you take the screen off. Anyway, it's a very stupid idea. I don't know. Trying to get this into schools and stuff. I forget what he said. He said something about like imagine one of these in every school or something like that.
No,
shut up.
I don't want to.
It's like with modern computers, if one of them breaks you or whatever, it's like, and he's like, with the cube, if one of the sides breaks, you just switch to another screen. It's like, yeah, but you still got a fucking a dead screen on there or whatever.
That is so outrageous.
What the fuck are you talking about?
That is really bizarre. So he says that it costs between $3,000 and $5,000 for one of these cubes, which if you're talking about in the school environment could get you, I'm going to guess that could get you like two or three carts full of disposable Chromebooks.
Well, check this out. He actually broke it down on Reddit because somebody called it stupid and he was like, he posted and he said, he was like, somebody said they were so preoccupied with whether or not they could that they didn't stop to think if they should. Very funny Reddit guy. Funniest guy on Reddit, I think is this guy's name.
Wait, did that guy get the funniest guy on Reddit award? Did he get the award?
He got the reward, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Funniest post of all time.
Thank you, kind sir.
A doff of the cap. So this guy says, hey, this is Matt. Valid question. Should we have? Yes. Yes, we should have. Let's look at it from my point of view. It was originally designed as a versatile platform more than a particular use design. Example, in many parts of the world, schools are not well funded. If they are lucky, they can get maybe two or three computers for a few hundred kids. We're lucky here, you and me. If one of those PCs fail, you lost one third of your capacity. Now a school with no money for pencils needs to divert funds to tech support. So what can we do? One, make the systems last longer. Two, make them support more people. If they have three data cubes, they can now support 12 kids. Not three. If one system fails, it will either knock out one, two, or four kids. But our other two systems will support the other kids.
That is That's this guy's on another level. Last week or the week before or whatever that was like a hospital cart like jammed to the brim with electronics and stuff like that. That had like a mysticism edge to it that I thought was a little intriguing. Cool. This one is
trying to open up a fucking portal to the netherworld or something.
That was kind of interesting to, you know, consider like Mountains of Madness kind of appeal. But this, he built a computer that has four screens that you can put a plant in the middle of. Did you see the one where it's a planter?
Yeah.
What's that?
Very silly.
That's not anything. And it looks bad as well, and it's massive. I cannot tell you how big this thing is.
Huge piece of shit, yeah.
Although it was pretty funny when he said, we could probably build it to withstand getting thrown out of the back of a truck, which, number one, he couldn't. But number two, it's funny to think about throwing one of these out of the back of a truck and seeing what would happen. Explode in a million pieces. That would be cool to see. It'd be awesome.
Or that robot thing that we were talking about just fucking taking off and having the tailgate down or something, just fucking
pushing it off the top of a building along with some other shit, you know. Some shit like a big pie, like a banana cream pie goes off and it plops.
Which one lands first?
which one lands funnier? The new show from the YKS guys. We could do it. $5,000, you get one of these bad boys. And then, of course, for $1,000, they'll let you install your own software onto it, which I don't know if that's... Seems like I shouldn't be paying you to put my own. I think maybe I'll just do that. And then if you're in the GTA... Dan, is that Greater Toronto area?
Yes.
Okay. It says they'll rent you two data cubes for a period of 1 year's time to test or develop products for, or just to have your administrative staff use, a $3,000 value. I think maybe the only thing funnier to me than picturing this falling out of the back of a truck and exploding is sitting it down in front of like four secretaries of an office and being like, we're doing data input on this now. From that, this is what you need to use from now on. Letting them just go to town on this bad boy. That is cool.
Ain't got no keyboard on there.
Oh boy. $1 pledged of $160,000 goal. So when he said 200K, he only meant 200K Canadian. So actually, actually pretty affordable stuff there. That's the data cube. Mike, and I've got one last one here for us on the Kickstarter, and that, of course, is Delivery Reimagined. Now, no, I did. So that was the problem, is I had to scramble a little bit because I very stupidly, I just wrote down the same one that you already had, so that's my bad, gang.
Did you get one? Who cares if you didn't get one? Who cares? We could just end the show right now.
But I'm actually a very hard worker, and my work ethic would never allow me to do that. And Dan just sighed huge. Wow. Threw his hands up in the air, really pissed off. Okay. This is called the Viver, maybe Born for Life, the digital gate to be immortal. Thank you, Zeke, for saving my bacon on this one. I've not seen the video because I've been recording this podcast the whole time. So we're going to be exploring this one together. Let's check this out. Okay, hang on now. So that was the shot of a cemetery, and the person who was buried under that headstone was the person who created this product, and there was like a verified check mark next to it and a QR code.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess what you do from there is you can, it looks like you scan the QR code and then you can, does it just take you to a website where you can look at the dead person's pics?
Yeah. It's, you just walk up and scan your headstone, you know?
Oh man.
Pretty good.
Okay. It says it's a wearable. I don't know if it's a wearable. Would you leave your life to chance? Not me. Not even the one after death. I don't know what that means. Viver was born for that. Let me explain why. Now, it says 3 years ago, one of my closest friends fought between life and death. We'd only just heard from each other a few hours before, and shortly afterwards, they were telling me that I might never see her again. Death, especially when it comes unexpectedly, is difficult to process, and the mind implements very peculiar defense mechanisms in order to protect us from great pain, okay? I, for example, got fixated on finding the right photo for the tombstone to suggest to her husband, the one I knew she would have chosen to represent herself to. Then I understood one image alone wouldn't be enough to tell the story of a whole life. Now, I guess I don't have anything critical to say about that. When someone dies, it's a bummer, and you want to remember them if they were nice. Sometimes bad people die, and you got to kind of let that one, go. You know, you don't have to remember the...
Take a little time to relish in it first, but...
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Or take some time to say they're spinning in their grave when a new phone comes out that's not very big. But I guess what you could do instead is you could create a digital device in the cloud. You could stutter over your freaking words, too. God damn it. Fuck. This is called the Viver code. It can be attached next to the photo on the tombstone and is easily accessible via smartphone. If photos on tombstone, that's not very common, right? That's not normally
photos,
there's not.
Yeah, probably expensive to do that.
How would you put a, because they're normally stones, right? Or concrete or something. You can't just, or
assuming like, it's in a little thing that's waterproofed or something. Assuming that's how they do it. I don't know. I'm not up on my tombstone tech.
I don't know. I guess I won't. I'm not going to tell anybody not to put a picture on a tombstone, but it does seem weird. It seems weird to me to have that,
Don't put a picture on your tombstone. You heard it here first. Jesse
I didn't.
Be pissed off.
I didn't say that. So this is like a little, it looks like they make them out of brass or something maybe, and then you attach them to the tombstone. And the QR code is one thing, but the check mark advertising the brand is a little distasteful to me.
You could just take that off. It looks like a verified badge.
It does.
You wouldn't be the guy in the graveyard without the verified badge, do you?
Not advertising that. And then I guess when your family stops paying for the hosting fees for the website, do they come off and like
pry it off of your...
That's what I'm wondering.
When the site goes under or whatever, you just come out and pry it off of there.
So fucking grim. How much does this cost? I'm wondering. Okay, 10 euro, $12 gets you suspended memory. It says the usage of the suspended coffee started in Naples during the Second World War when, in very hard times, people used to pay two cups of coffee, one for themselves and the other for someone who couldn't afford it. Okay, that's nice. To the question, would you like a cup of coffee, sir? People used to answer with joy and happiness, also asking themselves when entered for a cup of coffee to give back. I don't know what this has to do with this.
What that means. With your suspended memory, you will help Viver to give eternal life to those who cannot afford to buy the device. Because if we realize the project, a part of its proceeds will be used to invest in projects that will improve life.
That's not clear enough for me to part with $12. Let's see. For $18, you can write your name in the wall of funders for eternity and become a royal ambassador. That ain't bad.
That's cool.
For $118, now you are becoming a Viver, and you are a star to be a storyteller. So that's one time capsule with 100 memories, and then one you get access to the platform. So does that mean that $100 gets $118, is that all you need to have the time capsule? So maybe it's not a subscription service. Mike, one of the few things that's not these days.
Hey, that's what's up.
I mean, you're telling me $100 and I get to be remembered forever?
Forever? Okay.
I mean...
It says here for $20,000, you get the ultimate remembrance. People will remember you for forever and then some. That's cool.
Wow. I'd really like that a lot.
shitting on all you guys who are remembered forever.
Well, I don't know. Very strange to me to monetize death in this particular way. But, you know, I guess I'm just too squeamish, Mike. Maybe I'm just sentimental. I guess I'm just an old softy. To me, you know, somebody croaks, you throw them in the dirt, you say a few prayers to whatever and whomever is up there for you. You know, I ain't going to judge. I believe in some crazy stuff, too, you know.
And then you get on with your day, okay?
Oh, not even work. Life. Not even life. Day. Get on with your day. Okay. That's fast. Viver, or perhaps Viver as well. $157 of $58,135 goal for backers 57 days ago. This reminds me of Futurama. You ever see that episode where they've got the Futurama and there's the... You press play on the tombstone. And there's a video of the guy, and he's like, "Hey there, welcome to my grave. I thought you might be stopping by, so I've prepared something for you." And then it's like,
"I didn't see it." No, I can imagine what it would be like though, and I'm laughing my ass off.
Bender, I was pausing for you. I thought you might laugh
internally. It was an internal laugh. It was an ILJF.
Okay, gotcha. And then the robot is there, or the crab. The crab is there, and the crab is like,
yeah,
he's, you know,
I'm a doctor.
Yep. Okay. So you know the show. Yeah. That is cool. I know the show as well, gang. And actually, speaking of shows, that's just about it for YKS this week. But first, it's time for That's Where You Come In.
You're gonna wanna contact YKS. You're gonna wanna talk to Mike and JF. You're gonna wanna call 802-359-KISS. Send them something at their mailing address. 544 West Main Street, 209 Gallatin, Tennessee 37066. They got a Gmail, it's the name of the ship. Twitter's at your Kickstarter, and that's it. You're gonna wanna contact YKS. You're gonna wanna let them know you exist. Leave a little message for Mike and JF. YKS bot on Instagram for grill pics.
All right, gang, send us your email, send us your voicemails. They really help us out, and we need stuff to talk about. Mike and I are so done talking to each other. God damn it. We need some fucking help in here. So
sick of this motherfucker.
Thank you, Molly, for writing in. Molly writes, you were talking about terrestrial radio the other day, and here are the features from my local station that I hate listen to while driving my kids to school. Number one, Who's the Bad Guy? Theme music, Bad Guy by Billie Eilish. Tuesdays, where every Tuesday they have listeners submit what are basically Reddit Am I the Asshole posts, which the hosts read on air and have other listeners call in and say who they think is the bad guy. It's terrible, and it makes me mad every week. Now, number two, they have Hollywood Mike Evans, where a boomer calls in from Hollywood, and every day at 8:20 a.m. Gives a rundown on show business, news, and gossip, all from the perspective of an intolerant old white man. It sucks. Anyway, love you guys. Thanks, Molly. Now, I'm not really sure what to do with that second one, but the bad guy segment actually gave me an idea. I took a look at the Billboard Top 100 to source a title for a segment and found at number 62, a toe-tapping little ditty by country crooner Sam Hunt off his sophomore LP, Southside. And so here it is, the debut of a brand new YKS segment, Breaking Up Was Easy in the 90s. Now,
what is this crap, dude?
For this segment, I thought we could each spend a few moments remembering something we loved way back in the carefree, fun-filled 1990s, which was just 10 years ago, not 30, shaking my damn head. It was all too easy to let things go back then, wasn't it, gang? I'll go first. And my choice for Breaking Up Was Easy in the 90s is Rocko's Modern Life. Now, this was a Nickelodeon animated series about the comic adventures of a talking wallaby named Rocko and his wacky animal friends. The show was created by Joe Murray in 1993, and its short but popular run lasted for 52 episodes, concluding in 1996, before spawning a Netflix special just 2 years ago. many will remember the program for. It's zany quotable moments. Turn the page, wash your hands, anyone? Especially nowadays. But I, for one, will always cherish the show's emotionally raw and deeply compassionate perspectives on topics such as the awkwardness of post-adolescence and struggling with mental illness. Though Rocco is gone for now, its legacy continues in other mature, but not too mature, anthropomorphized animal shows like Tuca and Birdie, itself canceled after a one-season run on what else but the aforementioned Netflix. Perhaps we will be remembering that program on a future segment entitled, I don't know, Breaking Up Was Hard in the 2020s. Mike?
You are so fucking stupid.
Duke and Birdie.
Inception. What's wrong with you? I actually refuse to believe that you didn't know what that movie was. You're applying it up, and now it's kind of called into question. What other stuff did you say you didn't know, but you did know, but you played it up, and I don't know what to believe anymore. But, I mean, I guess I'll still listen. Bye-bye.
No, I don't think that was the... I think it was another title. I don't think that's what it was. It was something else.